Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 310, part 1, The Grass. Today is Friday, September 20th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Friday night, we ministered on sheep being shorn. The clippers, the shearers. And I said, sheep, are you ready for the shears? But after being clipped, after being afflicted, I said, God gives them new wool. A lot of times we have to lose our old wool. All the things we became comfortable with, we have this big woolly woolly. And it can be things, it can be money, it can be position, it can be your reputation, all these things if they're your gods. And it can be your thoughts on things. And they have to be cut away. And after all, that's all you have to give to the Lord anyway. And you don't look that good. You know, you're out there and people start looking at you. Well, boy, did that guy ever get clipped. Sometimes the banks clip us pretty good. Or your credit cards. Get it in the mail and you bought it on sale and it's 17.5%, 18%, even 20% interest. So those things are clipping at us. We don't look too good when we're shorn, when we're... Well, all the things are cut away. We don't look so fat and sassy. But anyway, God gives us new wool. First, the old wool must be shorn off, cut off. And you know what? That's a blessing. when all of the old wool is cut off. And you know, if we weren't afflicted like that, and we weren't shorn like that, and we weren't clipped by it like that, where would be the trying of your faith anyway? How would you have any reserve as far as endurance? No, it's what you go through that builds you. And rather, I said, than skipping over talking about trials, then why not just accept them quietly? Why do we have to advertise, boy, am I going through a hard time? Just go to a very precious few, your pastor or trusted friends. Don't go to a blabbermouth. And pray together with, you know, one or two people, but don't have to broadcast it. But why skip over the trials and the tribulations or try to, or the afflictions? We shouldn't do that. We should seek God's grace right in the middle of that thing. The Bible says God will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Maybe you're too fat to get through that little narrow gate. God will give you new wool, a new opportunity. See, it's grabbing a hold, recognizing those opportunities when they come. But see, if we're all caught up in what we're going through, we'll never get through it. I'm looking at this church right here. There's been a lot of wool cut off. Woolly, woolly. But probably, if it didn't go through that affliction and that clipping and that shearing and that sizing down, we never would have attained what we have right here today. A moving, well-oiled, well-clipped ministry. A dedicated few. All of the other woolly woolies are gone. And so you see, sometimes it turns out to be a blessing. Say amen, somebody. Sometimes you lose things and you lose your life, the Bible says, to gain your life. And always just before the dawn, that's the very, very darkest time. Wow, you're getting ready for a deliverance. Well, you don't look too good. Like I said, you're all cut away and you're just all bones and a little bit of hair sticking here and there, or fur sticking here, what is it, wool sticking here and there. You don't look too good. You don't look too spiritual. You don't look, let's shy away from this. It's a humbling experience. See, sometimes we have to admit we must be humble before we receive anything from God. And so during these trials and these tribulations and these afflictions, we should seek God's grace. And when we're crying about losing earthly comforts, with the one hand, the 1, 2, 3, God restores with a 30, 60, 90 with the other hand. And so on the other hand, while you're suffering now, you suffer for the joy that is before you. An opportunity is going to open up. And see, that's where a lot of the teaching is off. They tell people, well, don't claim a trial and don't claim. No, ask God to bless your cup of bitterness. Oh, I don't like that. No, in this world, you will have trials and you will have tribulations. Why not ask God to bless them? I didn't say to multiply them. He's only going to give you one at a time unless he gives you double strength, double your pleasure. Why not ask God, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, not my will, but yours be done. Take it. But if not, your will, if not, bless it. Wasn't it a blessing? Now, let's look at things aright here instead of a wrong. And so I said, he restores with a 30, 60, 90, and we all must lose a coat of wool full of manure and mud and burrs. Our old self-life, the one we become comfortable in. And then I said just before that they shear the sheep, they wash them. And you're feeling really good. You feel like, I've been totally restored. And you still got all your spiritual fat wool on and everything is woolly woolly for you. And then the clipper comes. The clip, 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 clip. And it is a blessing. Oh, what a blessing it is. See, I think many times it's necessary to remove things, to remove people, so we can receive the greater things. When you want to get your baby's attention and he's in the crib, and you've painted something on the side there so that the kid will, you know, start to get some eye contact, and he'll move his head over that way and look at that for a while. Then you hang things above his crib, so he'll look at them. Oh, look at the birdies go around in a circle, and you shake the thing, you know, and partner make the kid sick, trying to get him to comprehend there's other things in this world besides himself and bawling for milk and having his diapers changed and such. That's actually what you're doing. Then you want to get his attention, so you start talking to him, speaking, and you have to take these things out of the way, or the kid will be looking at these things. Or the nail polish on the side of the bassinet. So you have to remove things when you're talking to your child and he has a little plaything in his hands and he just keeps playing. Now you take that out of his hands and take it away and he cries, but you want his full and undivided attention. Did you ever talk to somebody and you say, did you hear what I said? You don't have their attention. You have to draw them away from what they're doing, isolate them, and then you can talk to them. And see if they're so caught up with all of this wool. They aren't going to listen to you. Whew. And so, yeah, it's necessary to remove things and people so we can receive the greater things God has in store for us. The blessings. Yes, it will be so. We shall have cause for rejoicing. Joy cometh in the morning. Do you believe that? Well, it's true if you aren't going to let somebody stifle your joy. There's a lot of stifled wet blankets. And there's a blanket all wet, and then they do one of these whirly-whirlies, you know. Ooh, 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 whoop. Will you receive your joy in the morning after that midnight hour of affliction? Will you? And so now let's enter into the hayfield today. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle. And that's the title of my message, grass. Psalm 104 and 14. Shouldn't that humble us? That we can't cause anything to grow. Think about it. Bible said God gives the increase. Well, started out with one person down here. Now there's 35,000 plus. It's going up to 40,000 plus a month they're being dealt with through this ministry and missions. God causes the increase. 44,000 pounds of food came in here, dry goods. And another 10,000 pounds is following it. I said, how much is on this truck? 44,000 or 42,000 pounds. We haven't got it all yet. Who gave the increase? Who gave the increase? God did. Did we give the increase? Did we just, no. But shouldn't that humble us that we can't cause anything to grow? You can't cause the grass to grow out there. Well, I know one thing for sure. I can't cause my hair to grow. I even, when I first got saved, tried praying by faith over my head. I said, grow! And I got guilty about it. I says, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. And I got up the next morning and says, why did I say I'm sorry? Grow! Not too many weeks back, I should say at the appointed season, all the world, for the most part, was busy bringing in grass crop. Farmers riding on tractors and bales piling up in the back. How many have done farm work here? And they get on, the baler bales it back. And you remember that smell of the new mown hay? And I thought, like salvation, we in the physical are kept alive. We are totally at God's mercy in the natural. A little bug can walk up. Happened to me about 3 weeks ago. I couldn't even see it. It was a micro mini bug. Okay, big boy, you're going down. That's how puny we are. You're going down. In the physical. Forget about hyper-spiritualism here and being spiritual. Just in the natural, and God always deals with the evident and the natural. To get the point across, well, sheep and shorn and grass and so on and crops and corn and all these things, so we can relate realistically, and we've left that. We've got into some kind of a flotation thing. Wow. Well, do you think we can bring a gospel message then out of the hayfield? I think so. Yeah, I think so. Let's anyway seek the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us. Let us make hay while the sun shines. Isn't there a song like that? Nelly or something like that? Well, the light is still here. Because there's a whole lot of darkness coming on. Mark it down. I'm not trying to defeat you in anything that you might be doing, but God is in the darkness, for his light, it says, shineth out of the darkness. You have to go into some pretty dark places sometimes. And have the lamp upon your feet, and you get one little footstep of light at a time. And we all like to have them great big beacons where we can shine out for years ahead and see everything that's going to happen way down the line. I'm going to tell you something. If I knew everything that was going to happen way down the line 10 years ago, I wouldn't even be here today. I would have took a slow boat to China. But you're only given your life one step at a time. Praise God for it. Because it's so wonderful when it unfolds one step at a time. Frightening to see the whole thing way ahead. Besides, you're not the author or the finisher of your faith. Jesus is. You don't write your own book. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, Psalm 104 and 14. I think there's a few things we should notice before we start here. First, that the grass itself is instructive. And secondly, that it is even more so when God is seen in it. And thirdly, that by that growth of grass for cattle, the ways of grace may well be illustrated. And so first, he causes the grass to grow for cattle. Now, isn't this something which in itself is instructive? God uses all these things as an example all the time, all along with light, water, grass and corn and cattle and hills and... So let's keep it simple. I think grass then could be looked upon as a symbol of our mortality. All flesh is grass. Now, don't get into a melancholy on me. Praise God that it is. And in fact, the whole history of man may be seen in the meadow. And there are a lot of songs about the meadow. Aren't there a lot of paintings about the meadow? Well, we sort of spring up green and tender. We are also subject, let's say, to the frosts of infancy. Then we come into maturity and we put on beauty. Oh, look back on those pictures, old preachers. And you were young and full of vitality. And we put on beauty even as the grass is adorned by the flowers. Think of that field out there. That's your life. And you think, man, I'll never get old, and I'll never have a backache, and I'll never have, boy, I'll never get like that, and I'll never, huh? Well, that's not true, is it? Our strength departs and our beauty is wrinkled like withered grass. There's so many beauty treatments right now, I don't know. You can't turn on the TV. They got some kind of lotion you're supposed to slap on your face to do away with crow's wrinkles. Crow's feet. I wonder why they call it crow's feet anyway. Because they stretch out like that? Huh? Is that it? I don't know. I think that's stupid. They might be smile wrinkles, too. Huh? Well, I mean, you know, if you just want to stay plastic, you probably never would wrinkle ever. You look like a painted egg. That's what you look like after so many... I knew a person that had so many times she had been to the plastic surgeon that she had to wear a high collar like this. To stretch the skin back so many times that the belly button is up here by your neck. Yeah, she took up her face. And soon I said our strength departs and we become wrinkled like withered grass, which then is followed by a fresh generation. And you see your children come, and they're all healthy and fat and little pink little kids running around. They're so cute and everything. And then they start to get to that, homely stage where they got the knobby knees. And remember, my mom used to dress me in short pants, and I had the skinniest legs you ever wanted to look at. And to top it off, when I went to kindergarten, she went and painted my fingernails. Oh. There you go, little darling. Skip off like little hind's feet. Go to school. We think our children will never grow old. Oh, I remember when I was young like you. All of a sudden, they start getting older. And older, and they grow. And they... Steve, my son, he says, I'm going to catch you. In 3 weeks, he grew 4 inches. He got past me. I'm catching you, he said. I thought, is he taking some kind of pill or what? Am I in a time warp? Come in, Spock. A spook. And they get a little older, and then they start to get a beard. And maybe your oldest ones have a gray hair. And you say, oh, gray hair. Oh, look at already gray hair. And I said, well, I don't care what color they are as long as they stay with me. And then they have children. And then all of a sudden you start looking at them and they got little crow's feet. And there's the grandchildren. And all of a sudden they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. Like grass. All flesh is grass. Are you hearing this? Yeah. But like us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, whatever, ripens for one reason, but to decay and fall into the ground. Oh, God, this is so sad. I don't believe it. What's sad about it? You look at some of the young people right now and you're glad you don't have to put up with all that. You go into a bank now, young people, they fingerprint them. Got cameras following around. Go to college, $65,000. I wonder how smart that is to spend that much. Maybe you should open up a hamburger joint on the beach or something. Yeah, because when you get out of there, there'll be a whole lot of custom-made history teachers. I wonder what they teach them now anyway. Business? There's no jobs in business. They got machines out there to do everything. I mean, it's pretty tough right now. So I'm thinking, praise God, my grass is withering away. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is a new home. No tears, no suffering, and I'm not getting melancholy. I'm just saying the way it is. You progressively die. Stop bawling on the radio. You notice anybody else crying with you? No, of course not. And so then the sons of men come to maturity in due season. You remember when you came to maturity and you were flexing your muscles in the mirror? Huh? Side profile? Huh? Puffing up? And then your sister came in and slapped you in the mouth, and that was the end of that. Don't take too much pride in that flesh or that face or that hair or whatever. I mean, it's nice to have it, but it's going to go. You're going to lose it. In Hollywood, when they lose it, other than people like Betty Davis, the greats that grow old majestically, I watched her on a TV show, and she says, well, they said, well, sum yourself up, Betty. She says, well, summing it all up, I guess I'm just too much. Too much for people. They're saying, will you please lay down and die? Now she's up for she'll be up for another award. How about making room for the new tender green grass? No, you don't have to do that. Roll with the punches. Grow old majestically, just to encourage you now so that you don't get too melancholy and turn the radio off. But the sons of men came to maturity in due season, and then they decline and wither as the green, it says, herb. But then, sadly, some of the grass is not left to ripen. But the mowers sickle it, remove it. The Lord gives life and He takes it away. Do you ever wonder why some people die real young? Doesn't the Bible say all things are working together for good? For them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And so this little one dies, is taken away, and everything works together for good. Something comes out of it. But even as death overtakes the careless children of Adam, and so in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. Like a vapor, like a pillar of smoke, it is gone. And the place, it says, thereof shall know it no longer. Isn't that humbling? And we're all proud, and we're all, you know, we go through the ritual. We go to the army, and we put on the uniform. I mean, we won't go through the whole scene, from the crib to the short pants to the, you know, go to school and the kindergarten, second grade, third grade, high school. And then we get out of there and we see a sign, Uncle Sam wants you. And it's kind of my life story. And so we probably go to a couple of shows. Iwo Jima, Corregidor. And then we go down and sign up. And we're so proud, and we go through the basic training, and we come home and we've gained about 40 pounds of muscle. We went in there at about 129 and a half pounds. Huh? That's all in the past. You start to wither. Hmm? Might even lose your teeth. Are you getting depressed over this message? No, don't get depressed over it. See, if we can realistically look at things the way they are, we won't be so busy claiming things. Don't make no claims on this life. It isn't yours. You're bought with a price, the Bible says. Isn't there a song like that? Claim nothing until you hear from me. Claim nothing till you hear from me. I think we need to be reminded of it, and reminded very frequently. Or, you know, we begin to believe it will never end. Hey, I'm on a roll. I have arrived. Won't that keep us in line? I mean, to subject ourselves to this verse here, this scripture here, that all flesh is like grass and it fadeth and passeth away. So why get so excited about things? Who'll know the difference 100 years from now anyway? Or 10? Why get so caught up in today? You know, you can get so caught up in a present-day defeat you aren't looking to the new door that's opening up. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise that things just don't work out. That very minute, that very day, like you want that red shiny bicycle when you're a kid and it didn't work out, and you just sort of felt it like a reject, and all of a sudden a better bike came along. Yeah. This will remind us of our brevity. This will cause us to change. Don't we all need change? Every time we see sod, it will remind us it covers the grave. I mean, don't walk in on that. Oh, some grass. Oh, just think it's going to be growing over me. See, if you really give your life, you gain your life, you're not worried about those things, you just take it as it comes. I mean, every grain of blast should give us a sermon about the length of our days. Think about that next time you see someone wasting their life. Isn't it a waste a lot of times? You see people that are brought up with money, they die with money. What a waste. We're someone that's caught up in drugs. I years ago, this is when I first started ministering 15 years ago, I said, you know what? They're saying that marijuana, and even the doctors are saying, well, there really isn't anything with this thing. And now they're finding out it even alters the brain of the babies. Habitual, continual, heavy smoking of marijuana. Grass. What a waste of life. What a waste of life. And I heard a young person say, well, you know, what's in it for me? I mean, they got A-bombs and all these things. And I was at a Bible study, and the end is near. Prepare for Armageddon. And he was sitting there, and I thought, prepare for Armageddon. Well, you don't look very prepared. You're sitting there like this, you know what I mean? If I would have had a tape measure there, I would have measured him up. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting ready for the casket. Measuring you up. I don't see that much preparing in you anyway. You're going to give up that much, you might as well just lay down and die. No, life is a battle. And praise God for the battle. What else would you do? If you didn't have trials and tribulations and battles, wouldn't it be a bore? Wouldn't it be boring to you? Oh, yes, it would. And if it didn't become a bore to you, you'd become a bore. Have you ever seen somebody that has everything and they have one of nothing, and the suicide rate with those folks is way above those with a trial? See, it's how you take it. It's how you live in that trial that warrants the outcome. Or if you've already pictured in your mind what the outcome is going to be, poverty, rags on your body, money for the poor. Money for the poor, huh? America, how about going out and getting a job? Well, there aren't no jobs. Yes, there is. How many know there are jobs? They're out there. Are you waiting for your ship to come in? I'll tell you what, they will not come down Oliver Avenue. The buses don't even come down through this north side. How much more distant do you think a ship coming in is? Well, when my ship comes in,
there you have it. That was episode 310. That was part one of The Grass. Be sure to join us on Sunday for part two, the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.